demons and the devil can't get to us because of your grace.
Yeah.
We know that you have provided for us to wake up in the morning and to go down and lay down at night and see another day that we've never seen before, only because of your grace. That's why this morning I ask you not for anything material. I don't ask you for anything monetary. I don't ask you for anything because I know that you already told us you'll take care of our needs.
Yeah.
But I come here this morning thanking you for being God. Thanking you for being good. Thanking you for being as faithful as you've been. Lord, we're grateful this morning. We're grateful this morning. We're grateful this morning.
Yeah.
If I don't see another day, we're grateful this morning. If I don't see this afternoon, we're grateful this morning. And we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are the issues of my heart its gratefulness?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you really are truly grateful for all the things that he has done? Not only that, but let me ask the even more serious question. How many of you all are just grateful for God being God all by himself? It doesn't matter about the things he's done for me, but just because he is God, I give him all my praise. I give him all the glory. I give him all the honor because I understand the fact that he loves the sound of praise. Somebody missed that. He loves to hear you shout hallelujah. He loves to hear you shout, Lord, you're worthy. Explain to him what I say.
There is a sound
that is pleasing.
That is pleasing to his ear.
The sound of praise.
The sound of praises lifted into the atmosphere.
Every time you lift your voice.
Every time you lift your voice.
You need to know.
Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise.
Yeah. Say it again. There is a sound.
There is a sound
that is pleasing to his ear.
Pleasing to his ear.
The sound of praise.
The sound of praise.
Lifted into.
Every
time you lift your voice, you need to know.
Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise.
This is what it is to him, a sweet symphony. Of heart's melody.
Of heart's melody.
A song of praise.
A song of praise to hear.
is music to his ears.
Music to his ears.
Jesus,
Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise.
Yeah. Let's say it again. It's a sweet symphony.
A sweet symphony.
Of heart's melody.
Of heart's melody.
A song of praise.
A song of praise to me.
It's music to his ears.
It's music to his ears.
And Jesus,
Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise.
So we lift up holy hands and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He loves to hear.
He loves to hear.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The sound.
He loves to hear.
He loves to hear.
Can we say it again? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The sound.
He loves to hear.
He loves to hear.
Hallelujah.
The sound.
He loves to hear. Listen, I adore you.
I adore,
yeah,
you. The sound.
He loves to hear.
He loves to hear.
I adore you.
I adore you. The sound.
Yeah. He loves to hear.
He loves.
Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
Yeah.
The sound.
He loves to hear.
He loves to hear.
Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
Yeah.
The sound.
He loves to hear.
He loves,
yeah,
to hear.
Hallelujah. The sound of praise. And like I said, I don't mind praising him. Because I know what I got. I got somebody that's got my back. Somebody that's got my front. That's got me on top. That's got me on the bottom. He's got everything I need. I know what I got.
Thursday and Friday, and a little windy today, but the Holy Spirit, Brother Terry, has been bringing us, because today you're going to see everything we've been talking about regarding selection, about being chosen, and about God having a plan. Everything is in Romans 11. Okay? I'm going to start at the first verse. Let me give you a little background. He's writing this to the Gentiles. Now, we've learned from Bible study that the Gentiles are not what people call them today when they say a Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. We know that the Gentiles are the descendants of Japheth. And so basically you're looking at two family lines. You're looking at the Jews. Let me help you understand. Biblically, the term Jew from Yehuda is used these days, not in the way it was used back then. Back then, the term was referring to individuals from three specific tribes. Okay. Tribe of Judah, tribe of Benjamin, tribe of Levi. These days, they use it to call everybody something. But that was after modern Jewry came into effect, not biblical Jewry. Biblically, when you're reading about the Jews, it's talking about, that's why there's a difference when you see the kingdoms. The northern kingdom, you see they're referred to as Israelites. Southern kingdom, you see they're referred to as Jews. Southern kingdom was composed of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. The other tribes never came back from the Assyrian exile, which is why they're called the lost tribes. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That was the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, all of them are descendants of Israel, but when the kingdom split, you had Israel to the north, and you had Judah to the south. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, okay? That was the tribe that God moved to go into Canaan first to lead the way, because it was symbolic of the fact that Jesus was going to lead us into the promised land. So given that, when you see Jew and Gentile, biblically speaking, Gentile refers to the descendants of Japheth. Who is Japheth? Remember, Noah had three sons. Okay, y'all remember that? Okay, he had three sons, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? Shem is the father of the Israelites. Japheth is the father of the Gentile. Are y'all with me so far? Shem is the father of the Israelites. Japheth is the father of the Gentiles. Okay? Given that, now that you have a little background, Paul was writing to the Gentiles because he had been sent to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. In order for that to take place, he had to disperse and move all of the individuals who were Jewish Christians out, because they wanted to do the same thing. Oh, look at God. They wanted to do the exact same thing that they were doing at the Tower of Babel. Not in the sense that they, I can't hear me either. not in the sense that they, hello, somebody. Okay, let me go here. Not in the sense
I want to walk, though.
Okay. Okay. No. Oh, that's a good point. Not in the sense that you. Not in the sense that you, I don't even know what I was talking about now. Not in the sense that. I can't even finish that. Huh? Oh, the Tower of Babel. That's right. Now, thank you, y'all. Not in the sense that they were trying to commit a sin, but because, okay, that ain't back yet. So it wasn't because they were trying to commit sin. The fact of the Tower of Babel was they got together and they didn't want to leave. They were told to spread out across the earth. And the first thing was that they said, we ain't going. When you read the whole situation, you find where they saying, we ain't going, we gonna stay here. And they knew they were bucking against God's commandment to spread out. Same thing happened when the Lord actually began with the Holy Spirit with the church. I ain't even know you, Deacon Lou. Where the locks go, man? Oh, what'd you say? They gone? They gone. All right. Looking good still, though. Looking good still. Rastafari, you know, Rastafari. But the thing is, and looking at all of this, the thing was, y'all pray for me. Y'all know. The thing was, God told the church, he said, I want you to first go to Judea, then I want you to go to Samaria, which is Israel. And then I want you to go to the farthest reaches of the earth. But when we read in Acts chapters 4 through 6, they wasn't moving. Thing about it is, God got a way of getting you where he wants you to be. So God sent persecution. That got them out of there. Some of you, I might want to make this point too, as the Holy Spirit is telling me, some of you are wondering why you're going through some stuff you're going through now. It might be because God is saying you've been here long enough. Since you won't move, I'll move you. Amen. But that's another sermon. That's another sermon. So the thing was, here, the Jews didn't want to move. And so the Lord spread them out, this, that, and the other. But after telling them all of this, that's when we get to the place where the Lord shut the Israelites' eyes so that he could open the eyes of the Gentiles. And that's what we're about to read, where he shut their eyes and shows you how all of this was part of his plan from Jump Street. Y'all with me so far? Let me see if I'm back. Okay. You know what, Deacon Brian? It might be the battery. Oh. Oh, that's all right. No, take your time. She's doing remotely. She's doing the computer thing. You're going to take your time, child. We got other microphones up in here. I might as well take this off. Now, I'm taking this off. I don't want y'all hollering about, Lord, he started undressing up there in the middle. He just got too comfortable. So, Romans 11. Is everybody with me so far?
Yes.
So, Paul is writing now about God shutting. Let me say this again. They didn't shut their eyes. Going back to Romans 9, he has mercy. And whoever he wills, he hardens.
Yes.
Are y'all with me? Y'all remember that? All right. So you're going to see all of that come together. Romans 11, Romans 11. And you know what? I'm going to ask y'all to do something if you don't mind. Deacon Bryant is in the back with the new remote computer system. She learning it. And the fact that she got the courage to try to learn it. I want y'all to give some praise for Deacon Bryant. Verse number one, I ask then, has God, y'all, everybody see where I am?
Yes, sir.
I ask then, has God totally rejected and disowned his people? Of course not. Why, I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected and disowned his people whose destiny he has marked out and appointed and foreknown. Y'all, you see that, Sister Cooper? Y'all see that? Whose destiny he marked out and knew it because he was the one who marked it out. And when did he do it? From the beginning. Keep reading now. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they done killed your prophets. They done demolished your altars. I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Are y'all here with me? So never think you the only special one. That's why we say Deacon Axe. I like that Deacon Axe. You accept that Deacon Axe? You accept that Deacon Walker? You accept it? What you say? You ain't got no choice. All right. Look here. That's why he said, look what he said. He said, I got 7,000 who, that's why I tell y'all all the time in Bible Institute, a Bible study, don't be going around here hollering about what Dr. Bonner taught. The Holy Spirit teaching this everywhere. You just don't know it. All right. Come on. Let's keep reading. And, no, I was about to say something I shouldn't have said, shouldn't say, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Like yesterday, after the presentation I had to do Friday, that's when some preachers came up to me and said, "Now you know we gonna take this." You know, that's why I didn't do no PowerPoint. I did everything on the board. You know we're going to take this and we're going to use it. Now, we're going to give you credit for it the first time. I just told him, look, bruh, it ain't my word. It's God's word, man. Yeah. Look at verse number 5. So, too, is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Pay attention. At the present time, there is a what? Remnant. A small believing minority, next word.
Selected.
Chosen by what?
Grace.
By God's unmerited favor and graciousness.
Hallelujah.
So he blinded their eyes, but he chose some to keep their eyes open. Y'all with me? All right, verse 6. But if it is by grace, his unmerited favor and graciousness, it is no longer conditioned on what?
Works.
Or anything what?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Not.
Ooh. Well, I chose him. If you chose him, then that means you did it. But in so many scriptures it said we are saved by grace, which belongs to him, that he offers, which we told you is what revelation is. God's got to reveal something, but then he's got to give you the heart to receive it. Y'all with me? So keep reading. Verse number 7. What then? Verse 6. But if it is by grace, his unmerited favor, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything men have done. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Meaningless. What then shall we conclude? Look at this, y'all. Pay attention. Israel failed to obtain what it sought, which was God's favor by obedience to the law. Only the elect, those chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became callously indifferent, blinded, hardened, and made insensible. Y'all getting this? Goes with what we were reading last week, where God's gonna make people believe a lie. Y'all remember that? So that they will be condemned. See, if I just told you that right off the bat, you tell me, no, that ain't how it is. You read it yourself. See, God is a God of love to us. Let me say that again. He's a God of love to us. But for others, he's a God of wrath. And we're going to get to those scriptures that tell you the difference. God is love, yeah, but to who? If God, he got a love, he happy, he gonna say whatever he wants to say. He's sitting in between y'all, so he gonna say whatever he wanna say. He happy now. Look, and so this is what you gotta keep in mind. Why is this important? All of this is not you learning, I thought God was this. It's not just that. It's are you gaining a greater appreciation of where he put you? Okay, come on, let's read. I'm doing like Sister Beverly said, nah, it's in black and white, can't you read? So, verse 8, as it is written, the devil gave them a spirit. They gave themselves a. God gave them a spirit and an attitude of stupor. Eyes that what? Should not see. And what? Ears that what? Should not hear. That has continued down. Who gave it to them?
God.
That they should have eyes that do what? Do not see. Ears that what? Which is why God said, blessed are your eyes because they do see. Blessed are your ears because they do hear. Is anybody listening to me up in here? Come on, let's keep reading, y'all. Verse 9, and David says, let their table, their feasting, their banqueting become a snare and a trap, a pitfall, and a just retribution rebounding like a boomerang upon them. Let their eyes be what?
Dark.
And dimmed, why? And make them bend their back, stooping beneath their It's tight. Look here, y'all. Y'all here with me?
Yes.
And when you're reading this, think about where you could be. What did we talk about last week? God made them, said God was going to make them believe a lie. What choice can you make that ain't based on what you believe? You make choices based on what you believe. So if God makes you believe a lie, how you gonna choose salvation? Is everybody listening to me? You sat down on that chair because you thought it was gonna hold you up. Choices follow belief, not the other way around. That's why we read in 2 Thessalonians when God wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, but no, God chose you to believe. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Keep reading. Verse number 11. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall by their utter spiritual ruin irretrievably? By no means. But through their false step and transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So as to arouse Israel to see and feel what they forfeited, and so to make them jealous. Now, if they're stumbling, y'all see how God doing all this stuff? Now, if their stumbling, their lapse, their transgression has so enriched the world at large, and if Israel's failure means such riches for the Gentiles, think what an enrichment and greater advantage will follow their full reinstatement. But now I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office in the hope of making my fellow Jews jealous, in order to stir them up to imitate, copy, and appropriate, and thus managing to save some of them. For if their rejection and exclusion from the benefits of salvation were overruled for the reconciliation of a word to God, what will their acceptance and admission mean? It will be nothing short of life from the dead. Now, let me give you a little bit more history. The reason he was writing this is because when the Gentiles came into the body of Christ, they thought themselves superior to the Jews. So Paul was writing them to let them know, no, even though you believe now, God ain't rejected his people. He blinded them so you could see. But don't forget, he called them first. Y'all here with me? Okay, keep reading. Verse number 16. Now, if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruits, Abraham and the patriarchs, is consecrated and holy, so is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. And if the root Abraham is consecrated and holy, so are what? But if some of the branches were broken off while you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches and pride yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember it is not you that support the root. Y'all here with me? But the root that supports you. You will say then, branches were broken and pruned off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. But they were broken and pruned off because of their what? Their lack of real faith. And you are established through faith because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. Y'all hear? 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, neither will he spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. Pay attention. Then note and appreciate the gracious what?
Kindness.
And the what?
Severity.
Y'all say this again. And the what?
Severity of God.
What are we looking at? Vessels of wrath. Vessels of mercy. Y'all see this? Mercy, wrath, kindness, severity. All right, keep reading. Note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. Oh, 23. And even those others, the fallen branches, the Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. Y'all here with me? For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? All right, y'all, this is where it gets good. You say, oh my, you thought that was a good part? No, this is where it gets good. 20. Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits. I do not want you to miss this what?
Mystery.
And what?
Mystery.
Brethren, what does mystery mean? You don't understand it. See, one of the things we have to understand is that a lot of this is a mystery. We won't know the full plan till we get home. That's why Solomon said, look, you ain't gonna understand it all down here. Just obey. And when you obey, you are actually doing what the Holy Spirit is moving you to do, which is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Y'all hear?
Yeah.
Keep reading. I'm going to start at 25 again. Verse 1. 25. 25 at the beginning. Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits. I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery, brethren. Pay attention, y'all. A hardening insensibility has temporarily, what? Befallen a part of Israel. Look. To last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in. I'm going to keep them blind till my number is reached. Which means what? He got a number. Y'all listening to this? He got a number. What did he tell those martyrs in Revelation? you got to stay here until the full number. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Bible study people. Stay here till the full number has been reached. You can't have a full number unless you already planned out what the number will be. Not only that, you can't have the full number unless you know who's going to fill the numbers. Which is what we already say all the time. It's already done. It's done. It's done. One of the presentations I had to do one of the presentations I had to do was on taking a risk. And when we were talking to ministers about taking risks, I said, we don't see risk the way that the world sees it. Risk means that you're going to do something that has the potential of loss and harm. I said, but you got to understand, we got to redefine that, because if God tells me to do something, that ain't no risk. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That ain't no risk. And the thing I had to share with the ministers is, you don't understand. Psalm 139 said, every day of your life has already been written before you got here. If that be the case, then, Deacon Smith, that means, as I told the ministers, whatever God has told you to do, he's already done. You ain't, that's why I keep telling y'all, God ain't working nothing out. That's like me coming down here and saying, I need to work on this table so I can try to finish it. If I came down here and told y'all I need to finish working on this table so we'll have it ready for communion service, now Deacon Axe Man will look at me and say, God bless him. Deacon Bill will look at me and say, Lord help. Deacon Smith will look at me and say, I knew that Negro was crazy. Deacon Frank will be on my side, wouldn't you, Deacon Frank? Deacon Frank will be on my side. Because it's already finished. What did Ephesians 2:10 say? That's what I found out. A lot of them was taking notes on, too, because they hadn't really dealt with predestination. But then when we did with the scriptures, they said, huh, I didn't know that was in there. I said, remember, Ephesians 2:10 says you are walking in paths that have already been prepared. Walking in paths that have already been prepared. Come on, y'all. Let's keep reading. Verse number 26. And so all... it, y'all saw the number being reached, right? Okay. So all is, look what he said in 26. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant, my agreement with them, when I shall take away their sins. From the point of view of the gospel, the good news, they, the Jews at present, are enemies of God, which is for your advantage and benefit. Y'all with me? Yeah. But from the point of view of God's... but from the point of view of God's choice of election or of divine what? Selection. They are still the beloved, dear to him, for the sake of what? For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace. I was hoping y'all would respond to that. He does not change his mind about those whom he gives his grace or to whom he what? Sends his call. Just as you were once disobedient and rebellious toward God, but now have obtained his mercy through their what? So they also now are being what? Disobedience when you are receiving what? Mercy. That they in turn may one day through the mercy you are enjoying also receive mercy, that they may share the mercy which has been shown to you through you as messengers of the gospel to them. Y'all see how God doing this? He shuts one group's eyes so he can open another group's eyes. But then when he opens their group's eyes, he tell them, don't get too happy because I am going to open their eyes again. Keep going. For God, 32. Oh, Lord. For God has penned up. Only that he may what? Ain't that what we've been teaching for the last year? Now, when a dog is in a pen or a hog is in a pen, what does that mean? He in the pen, but he can't what? So if you've been penned up in disobedience, can't get out, Simon, let somebody open the door. Which is why Jesus says, I am. I wish somebody's listening to me here. Which is why Jesus said, I am the door. Keep going. Verse number 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Now look at how amazing this is. God decides what people will believe so that all of it points toward his glory. Which is why we were reading last week. He makes you believe whatever he wants you. Keep reading, y'all. Verse number 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions. And how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways. His methods, his past. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has understood his thoughts or who has ever been his counselor? Or who has first given God anything that he might be paid back or that he could claim a recompense? Gerald, this was another drop the mic moment. We were talking about, I shared with them how at a previous conference, I was teaching about God's sovereignty, and I just asked a question at the beginning these were pastors and church leaders. This was some time ago. And in doing that, I just asked at the beginning, I said, why do you think God selected you? Now, the answer is, I don't know. The answer is because he chose to. Answers I received was he saw how talented I was. I ain't lying to you, Jail. I ain't lying. He saw how talented I was. And that was serious. He saw how talented I was. And he saw, look at this was another Sister Grace. He saw what I had to give him. Lisa, you hear me what I said? Now, one of the first things, Sister Mitchell, I wanted to ask the pastors who had invited me, was, why did y'all call me here? Second thing was to see, these were people leading church people. And are completely humanistic. So of course, we did what we normally do, Jossie. We go to
brother back there say, pray for him.
Did that too, but we go to the word. Guess what we hear a lot of times, Jossie? Huh, I never saw that. I never saw that. Say, is that the only one? I said, no, I got 20-something more. I never knew. I thought it was all on us. And then we showed them where in that time. But the thing is, everybody ain't gonna receive this truth. Because everybody ain't supposed to receive it. Their hearts, he has hardened. Their eyes, he has blinded. That's why I shared with them, you don't teach them to make them do nothing. You don't teach to manipulate. You teach him and let the head of the church do what he's going to do. Y'all see what I'm saying? Last verse. For from him and through him, 36, y'all, and to, now look, for from him, through him and to him are the good things. Are the holy things. For all things originate with him and come. All things live. And all things center in and tend to consummate and to end. That's why to him. Anybody grateful? Anybody grateful this morning? Now are you starting to see how powerful the statement is that simply says, but you were chosen. You were chosen by him. That's why God owes us, but we owe him. Yes. Bow your heads. God, our Father, we thank you for choosing to teach us your truth. You could have left us blinded. Could have left us ignorant, walking around here smelling ourselves, without recognizing ain't nothing happening that you ain't in charge of. So we ask you now to continue to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, so that everything about us points toward your glory. It might be somebody here who's not accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Right now, If you will say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, it's because the Lord is the one that's calling you. And once you accept, the Holy Spirit will take over from there. There are those who may want to join this fellowship who have not been members of the fellowship, this fellowship, but God is moving you to do so. We would love to have the opportunity to love you in the body of Christ. If God is moving you to do so, in the back of the pews, which would be in front of where you're sitting, there are cards. Fill out those cards, and on your way out of the sanctuary in the vestibule, put the cards in the boxes, and there will be ministers from the membership intake team that will get in touch with you, and we will be honored to love you with the love of Jesus the Christ. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Put your hands together and give God some praise. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.